Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're all keeping well wherever you're listening to this podcast. My name is Keletsi Lushokwe. I'm a client fund manager in the Stanlib Institutional Distribution Team. And today we'll be giving you the quarterly Stanlib podcast. So looking forward to an engaging conversation. Today I'm joined by the head of Systematic Solutions, who's Radamir Vermaak. Radamir will be taking us through the various funds within his franchise, giving us a sense of what the funds did, how he sort of sees the opportunity set going forward, some of the risks that are attached to the future outcome, and also one or two other points around maybe a more global macro conversation with regards to the funds itself. So looking forward to a good conversation. Hi, Rats. How are you?
Hello, Keletsi. I'm good, man. How are you? Thank you to the listeners for the opportunity.
No, I'm looking forward to this conversation. I think I always have a fantastic, engaging time talking to you. And I think specifically when it comes to these particular solutions that you have put out for the market itself, maybe as opposed to start the conversation, we can ask about your main reflections for the second quarter with regards to the work you and the team have done within the fund.
Yeah, so Keletsi, I guess managing an equity fund in South Africa is a bit like driving through the streets of Joburg. As drive as carefully as you may, you're bound to hit a pothole every now and then. And so luckily with the enhanced multi-style, the Stanlib enhanced multi-style equity fund, we've built a land cruiser in the sense that we can swerve those potholes, but we've also got a robust chassis and suspension for when we do hit a pothole. And maybe just as a reminder to everyone, when we pick stocks, we pick stocks at that intersection of quality and value and growth. Like, we try to find stocks that fit in that sweet spot, and then we build our portfolio bottom up from that. And what that means is that we tend to avoid the value traps, the lemons, you know, those stocks that are so cheap that they've got no quality, no growth prospects, and they're just like ridiculously cheap. We tend to avoid those stocks by investing at that intersection. But the reality is that every now and then one of those lemons pop, and then you hit a pothole. And this quarter we did hit a pothole with the bid by BHP on Anglo American. Now, Anglo American, you know, with an ROE of 11%, it's sort of low quality. It's with a forward PE of 14. It's expensive, and there's just no growth in that stock. And we didn't hold any of it, and we still don't hold any Anglo American. So over the quarter, with the bid, the underweight in Anglo American detracted about 60 bps from our performance. And you know, that's just part and parcel of our philosophy. We tend to be underweight those value traps. And whenever one of those get taken out, that's a period when we tend to struggle a bit. But like I said, as a result of our fantastic Land Cruiser suspension, the fund was only down 43 basis points below benchmark over the quarter. And over one year period, we've generated a consistent positive alpha of 5.56%. So I think, you know, the takeover bid as such didn't surprise us, given how cheap the stock is. It's just not the type of risk that we want to take. You know, we don't think you need to get necessarily compensated investing in these deep value traps.
And I love the use of the word, the analogy there around the Land Cruiser. Here and there, as you say, there may be bumps in the road, but that's the kind of vehicle and the kind of car that you want to be driving in the long term, especially if you're driving on the bumpy roads of markets as well. So
exactly.
And so I suppose a question that comes up as well is, over that quarter, what were you happy with? What about the Land Cruiser were you particularly happy with, and what else surprised you?
So I guess happy with the suspension. You know, the risk management in the process worked well, and our portfolio diversification worked well, meaning that, you know, we generated significant alpha in some of our other holdings that offset some of that 60 basis points hit we took with Anglos. There were no real surprises. I guess the only thing that has a message and has some news in it is the fact that after the Anglo bid failed and BHP walked away, the stock price didn't quite pull back completely to where it was before the bid, which means that the market is expecting that there might be the opportunity or the possibility of another bid in the future, as you know, these conglomerates are circling around Anglo's copper business.
And I suppose in terms of, I mean, it is a, if you look at that second quarter, just given all of the macro stuff happening as well, it was always going to be a, an interesting quarter, to say the least. I think you've spoken about the detractors within the particular fund, but given the way this fund is also built, there were also contributors within that. Perhaps maybe you could give us a sense of what actually assisted in terms of the performance over the quarter.
Yeah, so Kelechi, the two of our biggest overweight positions that significantly contributed over the quarter was our overweight position in Truworths. Now, you know, with an ROE of 43%, it's one of the highest quality companies in the SA market. And a forward PE of 10, it's fairly priced, but, you know, we've seen significant potential earnings growth in the stock, and you know, with the likes of Office in the UK also you know, printing significant earnings, we've actually held our overweight in that position, and that contributed about 60 basis points to our performance. And then the other stock in the financial sector that we've traded into over the quarter, taking us to about a 2.6% overweight, is Sanlam. Now, it's got significant quality. You know, it is moderately fairly priced, and the stock has already priced in much of the growth prospects, but we do see some upside potential in the stock still, and that stock over the quarter contributed just shy of 60 basis points to our total portfolio performance. Now, I think it's important to articulate the philosophy that we build robust portfolios. We pick stocks bottom up, and then we build this chassis and this the suspension around it to ensure that the portfolio as a whole in the construct is robust.
And I think that robustness does come through for any investors who look at the performance of the fund over not just the short term, but even the longer term, how that consistency in the process has resulted in more often than not outperformance versus others.
Yeah, so can you say, I guess to that point, the fund has got a 100% hit rate over any rolling 3-year period since we launched the fund. Now, what that means is that when you compare our performance to the benchmark, we've consistently beaten the benchmark on any rolling 3-year period. So that is, in the equity markets, quite a short window to have such a consistent performance through the cycle. You know, so potholes, rain, sunshine, whatever the weather throws at us on the road here in Joburg, the Land Cruiser manages to navigate it.
I love to hear it. And I think it makes my job easier, being the liaison between clients, being able to take a solution like this out. Maybe let's change tack a little bit. Instead of now, I suppose, going from looking back to sort of looking forward, I know if you had a crystal ball, you would probably be in a different job and everything. But going forward over the next sort of 3 to 6 months, let's say the short term, what do you think? What are you like keeping your eyes on? What do you think may drive markets over that period?
So, Kelechi, I think locally, the market-friendly government of national unity that has been formed is a fabulous outcome. And I think we have, on the back of that, seen the rewriting of the SA market in general and the SA Inc stocks in particular. And I think we may see, as this government sorts of finds its feet, we may see that continuing and a further rewriting in the SA market as hopefully foreigners return to the good news story that we've seen to date. Further than that, I think the latest inflation prints from the US is quite encouraging. And I think we may have imminent rate cuts by both the Reserve Bank in South Africa and the Fed in the US, and both of which should be rather supportive of both equity markets.
So, and it's very positive to hear, Rods, considering, I mean, the constructive outlook on things going forward. But as you know, we do live in the real world, and there are always risks to contend with, especially in the job that you do. Are there any risks in particular that you're keeping your eye out, that you and the team are particularly interested in at this point?
Yeah, Kelechi. So I guess what keeps me awake at night and what I see as potential risks is the fact that this government of national unity was a bit like a shotgun wedding, where two people went, they both thought they were going on a blind date, and when they arrived at the venue, it was a wedding ceremony. and It worries me that the reality of a coalition government is quite different and it can become quite hairy in practice. And, you know, the alternatives to the current GNU, should the DA pull out, will be hair-raising. And I guess so, the government and the coalition and the sort of pulling together will be a walking a tightrope between party policies and government policies, and it will be challenging. And so that keeps me awake at night. I really hope that that South Africa as a collective can pull this off, and that we can bury our differences and build the country going forward with this government of national unity. I guess the other thing that worries me, unless you're looking forward and then risky, that I'm quite worried that the Fed's over-reliance on backward-looking data for making their policy decisions might mean that they don't quite account for the lag effect in policy impact, and that the US economy might actually have cooled down a little bit more than they had expected by the time the rate cuts occur.
Very valid. And I think the sentiments that you mentioned are actually quite important for all South Africans. I think we all would love if the people who we have chosen to govern us for the next 5 years look towards that and do that. But I think obviously as a fund manager yourself, you take all opportunities and all situations into account. And I think that brings me to my next question, which is maybe more so to focus on the Standard Equity Fund, which is obviously under your franchise as well. And for all those listeners who are aware, that fund in particular is a great combination of the best of breed local enhanced multi-style fund, as well as the Global Select Fund, which is part and parcel of our offshore strategic partners, JP Morgan Asset Management. And I think obviously it makes sense for a lot of individuals who have one foot or both feet here in South Africa, but also looking outside into the world. Why do you think the mixture of those two solutions is actually so potent for our clients, especially in this world and this current environment that we live in?
I think the benefit of combining two consistent processes into a single fund, such as what we have with the Stand-Up Equity Fund, is phenomenal. You know, the philosophy and the foundations and the principles of both funds are so similar that they are a natural fit in a South African equity fund that makes use of its offshore allocation. You know, both the JP Morgan Global Select Fund and the Stand-Up Enhanced Multi-Style Fund have a true bottom-up stock selection investment process, and both have a robust risk management framework with limits on how much sector and stock risk is taken. Both construct portfolios that are better than the benchmark, you know, a fund that has got cheaper stocks, better quality and better growth prospects. And both have, over the short, medium and long term, generated persistent outperformance of its various benchmarks. You know, the JP Morgan Global Select benchmark being the MSCI World, and Enhanced Multi-Style being the CAPSWIX. And therefore, both of these funds can be positioned as core portfolios, and they don't have any style bias. You know, they are balanced and diversified products that are designed to generate alpha and to perform and to protect capital through the economic cycle.
Brilliant. As you're describing them, it sounds to me as we have initially, we were talking about shotgun wedding between two individuals. But here we've almost got the perfect union of soulmates coming together.
Yes, well articulated. This is like a Land Rover and a Land Cruiser getting married.
Yes, there we go. No, Radomir, thank you very much. I think this has been very insightful for me. I think it's been very insightful for the listeners as well. To all the listeners, thank you very much for taking the time to listen to the podcast. If you have any questions and we'd like to take the discussion further, please feel free to get in touch with your Standard representative. We're always here to assist. And Radomir and the team are always here as well to provide you with more guidance and more detail in terms of what they're doing, why they're doing it, and how it's going to add value to you in your lives moving forward. So I wish you a good rest of the day. Thank you very much for the time, and we'll see you soon. Cheers.
Thank you, Kiletsi. Cheers, everyone.